Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hi, I'm Rob Schneider.
And I'm Kevin David Thomas.
And happy Throwback Thursday, everybody.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
I'm doing good. Is there anybody else here but me?
Nope, just you, Rob.
Nope, just me. Just okay, a sad, good. Lonely room. The door creaks.
Dude, that is such a good song.
The door squeaks.
It is such a good song.
It is a great song.
Anytime I hear it, I'm always like, really? In 1943, they came up with this like dramatic, like dark song.
Oh,
when and that further the plot, that the character, I mean, that is some, come on.
Who played
like Something for the Boys is playing down the street, and then you've got the you know, that song going, Lonely Room. I mean, come on.
Let's admit it. Oklahoma is brilliant.
It is, and you forget it because we're teachers and we're always like, oh yeah, 1943, everything changed, and we say it all the time. But really, it really did. I mean, it really was a special piece.
Have you seen that thing on YouTube where it's a college? I can't remember what college did it. They restaged all of Agnes DeMille's choreography and the original staging, original costumes, original sets, so contemporary audiences could see what Oklahoma looked like back in 1943.
Oh, really?
Full production is on YouTube. So if anybody wants to go see what it looked like in 1943,
Either
one, go on YouTube or ask me. Because I was a senior citizen back then.
That's right. And
I got my discount.
You got the lottery tickets in the front row.
A nickel.
I love seeing like the drops and everything though, because, and also they weren't amplified. Also, that orchestra definitely had more than 15 people in that pit. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, yeah.
It was like full orchestras back then of those shows.
And they could all belt without any, any issues. Try to see that happen today. That ain't going to happen. In my day. Why do you think people don't project as loudly? Is it the microphone?
Well, I think microphones definitely take part of it. I think that everyone's, musical theater actors are, they go to this 4-year school or 2-year school and they train. And I think it's all about finding the moment and like making it really personal. And I'm not saying everyone does that, but I think that it you look in as opposed to, it used to be, you would, like Ethel Merman, come on. She didn't exactly have, I mean, I know there are Ethel Merman fans out there that are like, Kevin, what? But she didn't have the most finesse in the world. She like did the job. She came out there and like, rah, but she was effective. And I was just talking with a friend recently about who saw her in the theater and was like, yeah, from the last row, you still could feel her energy coming at you. So I think it really was about projecting that energy as hard as you could to the back.
I feel so many acting teachers, and if you're not an acting teacher like this, please forgive me, but I feel so many acting teachers think like good acting is equivalent to film acting. And so many of the acting classes now, especially for musical theater, are in small studios.
Yeah.
So they feel too big.
Yeah.
And then you put them on stage and they get lost. Have them rehearse. Can you do acting classes in big theaters, please?
Right.
So that way they can get used to not only feeling their objective, but also being able to feel it so that the whole back row can also feel what's going on, too.
Well, it's like auditioning.
It's just like auditioning.
Every person we interview for our long-form interviews, they all talk about these days back in the 60s, 70s, even the 80s, when they auditioned at the Majestic Theater. They walked in the stage door. You went on stage. Can you even imagine? I mean, nowadays you audition in a room that's smaller than this room. I mean, like,
you're right on top of everybody.
Yes.
That's so weird. I wish they could go back to doing old school auditions where everybody is right there. You can see them all. And isn't that a fun time? No, seriously. I think that would be wonderful.
True. I also think as an actor, I'd be like, that's scary as shit. Having to get on the Broadway stage and walk out there and not only be auditioning for the director and all that, but you're on Broadway stage. You're literally singing at the Palace Theater. I mean, I can't even imagine.
That would be so cool.
That would be pretty awesome. Let's
do that. Okay. Let's just break into a theater one night.
Yeah,
and
sure.
And we'll just audition on the stage and see what happens. Nobody will arrest us.
Do you know, right? I love, so when I did Little Night Music, I used to love either getting to the theater early, or there are a couple times I was there late, and I would love going downstairs on that Walter Kerr and walking on stage, the ghost lights out, and no, there was not a soul in the theater. And I just love an empty theater. I love that energy. I love like that. And I don't believe in any of that stuff, but like I just love that feeling of like an empty house.
If you really want to see an empty house, just come see one of the shows that I direct. Stop. You can get a full idea of what an empty house
get
looks like.
Get out of here. You're
I would tell you this story about, I was talking to a friend of mine. We used to do community theater together, and it's about empty houses. There was a company that was doing a production of The Three Musketeers, and they came on stage, and they looked out into the audience, and there were two people sitting in the audience for The Three Musketeers. So they performed the first act. The curtain went down. They all started packing up because they're like, we're not going to finish the show for only two people. And the artistic director, who was also the lead in Three Musketeers, he rallies them all. And he says, you know, only need two people for an audience. We're going to go out there. We're going to give them all we got. So they all went back into place act two motivated. That curtain went up. They'd left.
Oh man, that'll learn you.
And that'll learn you. Speaking of learning, I have to tell you something. Our favorite things that we do, they're always so about what's happened prior to us. It's always
a long ago
and far away.
That's right.
The most recent stuff, I think, it was Shana Taub.
Oh yeah, I love Shana Taub.
I would like to tell you that I saw something recently that is now going to be this week's favorite thing.
What?
And it is actually still on Broadway.
Wait, Rob, you're telling me this is not something that's from an 80s television show. This is not a YouTube clip from 1970 or before. And that this...
You know me so well.
I know you so well. You know, what
please,
is it?
Please.
I'm excited.
Why'd you place your voice like that?
I don't know. I don't know. I just
know him so well.
It was like I wanted.
Isn't it good?
So good.
That's. Do you ever say I love?
So fun.
I love singing duets in the shower where you have those little musical moments.
Oh yeah.
Where you're not even singing like one line in a duet. You're not like, baby, you're the bottom. You're just like doing both. Wasn't it good?
Are you kidding? That's like, how are you doing there, John? Chris, I got the hots for Yvonne. We should get drunk and get laid because the end is so near. I tell you, buddy, I had it. I don't want to hear. Get out of here. It's my favorite.
That was great. Do you do that? Is that your go-to? What's your go-to
shower
song? Yeah,
it's my cabaret. I don't really sing in the shower.
What?
I know, isn't that weird? I don't find myself singing in the shower. I have to like make myself sing in the shower.
Oh, really?
I'm not a big, I'm a self-conscious singer, Rob.
You have a, if you've never heard Kevin sing, Kevin has an absolutely gorgeous voice. And what I love doing is putting him in a concert where people first know him as Kevin the interviewer. And then when they hear you sing, they are blown away. Can I tell the Don Pippin story?
Okay.
So we interviewed Don Pippin a while back.
The great maestro.
The great Don maestro
Pippin.
Himself, Donald Pippin. He's been in the business now for 50 years. He's 90-something. Yeah. He's currently working on Hello, Dolly. He met Kevin and I when we interviewed him. He was very nice, wonderful, cordial. Mm-hmm. I then put him in a concert, and we were going to do Song on the Sand from Lacage. And I said, Kevin's going to sing it. And Don said, oh, now, wait a minute. If I'm gonna play, I want to have approval of who's going to sing. I don't even know if this guy can sing. And I want, fill in the name of the person that he asked, incredibly expensive.
Jeremy Jordan. Nope.
Like Don Pippin knows who Jeremy Jordan is.
Oh my God, you're right, actually.
Don Pippin really won most of the cast from, you know, High School Musical, because that's one of Don's favorites. After he's done listening to his LP of 110 in the Shade, in comes Sharpay. He puts on that DVD and has a gay old time.
Oh God!
I said not going to do it. It's going to be Kevin or nothing. So Kevin then sang, and I after the concert, Don grabbed me. He's wonderful. He's so good. I can get him a job. I want to get him a job. Blah blah blah. So there you go. So if you've not heard Kevin sing, YouTube,
great.
Song on the Sand. And hear Kevin's gorgeous voice.
It was sweet. It was incredible singing with him playing, because I play the piano, and it's always when you sing with someone that can really play the way he can and really support a singer, it's pretty magical.
He's pretty marvelous, right?
I interrupted you, and you were just going to tell me your favorite thing, and
it is,
then
it
we
is
start talking about me, and I'm like, whoa.
It's something contemporary.
I'm excited.
And I know that you saw it, but I know we didn't see it together.
Oh.
My favorite thing, and I feel like it's going to be my favorite thing for a very long time, is the new musical Come From Away. You saw it, right?
Yes.
We haven't even talked about
this. We haven't talked about this yet, Rob.
So, listeners, I hope you don't mind. I'm throwing you something new. I have not had an experience in the theater in a long time like the experience that I had at Come From Away.
And we are unbiased. Like, we didn't get tickets. Like, no one, like,
oh, they, no.
You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like, oh, nope. They gave us some seats
nope.
and we.
No, nope.
This is truly our own. Yeah,
we are regular.
We have not talked about this.
We are regular paying theater goers.
Yeah.
I don't really know anybody in the cast.
Nope.
I know the producer kind of.
Yeah.
But I. Totally.
And I walked in knowing the plot, but I didn't really know what to expect.
For our listeners who aren't familiar, Come From Away is a musical about the planes that were diverted to Gander, Newfoundland on September 11th. And the amount of people that were in the planes that landed practically doubled the size of the community. And so it's, to me, the musical is really about... our ability to be kind to each other and how great this world would be if we could express or give off more humanity than I think we're currently giving off. It's really a great, great, beautiful, beautiful story. That's my opinion. I haven't even spoken to you about it yet. I will tell our listeners this. I am recommending this show to everyone who asks me if I'm coming to New York, what should I see?
Oh, brilliant.
And the reason that I'm asking our listeners to follow it today and why I would like it to be a favorite thing is we are very lucky. I think we're in a very strong season this year for musicals.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, think of Natasha Pierre, Dear Evan Hansen, coming up soon that we haven't seen yet, Groundhog Day, War Paint.
Chocolate Factory.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Things that have opened. Come From Away. In Transit. We're doing really, really well, and I really can't think of a lot of revivals coming. So anyway, my fear, though, is Come From Away is 12 people that play over 100 different roles. There's really no set except a few tables and chairs. And it's up to the audience's imagination to be complicit in the storytelling. We have to fill in the blanks. And I think that a small little show like this might get lost in the shuffle. And I don't want it to get lost in the shuffle. I think people know that there are issues. I mean, it's a musical about September 11th. I don't think a lot of people voluntarily want to relive the memories of that day. And it's also a title that nobody is really familiar with. It's by a wonderful team, Irene Sonkoff, I hope I pronounced that right, Irene Sonkoff, and David Hine. Who are married. They also wrote My Mother's Lesbian Jewish Wiccan Wedding, which I
Wiccan?
Saw. Wiccan Wedding.
You've seen it?
It was very funny.
What?
It was very funny.
Where did you see that?
It was at Nymph.
Here?
Nymph. Was it Nymph?
Oh,
it was
my
very
God.
Funny.
Well, good for I think it's awesome that they wrote this piece and it's like, it's on Broadway.
It's on Broadway.
It hasn't been like workshop for 20 years and it's,
oh my God, please. It hasn't been workshop for 20 years and it's been supported by the wonderful producers over at Junkyard Dog Productions who advocate for only producing original musicals, so they never invest in revivals.
Brilliant.
And I thank them. I thank NAMT. I thank the school up in Canada that first initiated this project. It is a beautiful reminder of how we should be kind to one another. So I am advocating for Come From Away because my fear is that it might get lost in the shuffle. But everybody I know who's seen it, and I mean, come on, you and I know people that are so critical of absolutely everything. If there's a thread that's incorrect on a dress, it could ruin a whole evening for somebody, for some of our friends.
Yeah.
Everyone I know who has seen it has loved it. That, I don't know what your night was like. Just as the lights were going down at the end of the show, the audience was already up on its feet applauding. So if you're coming to New York City, I ask you, please go see Come From Away. If you're not coming to New York, get that cast recording and listen to it. Play it over and over. It is a beautiful experience. And kudos to an amazing cast led by Jen Colella and Chad Kimball and the director, Christopher Ashley, who has done a remarkable job in creating this life. And like I said, you go over 90 different locations. You're dealing with over 100 different
and
characters.
It's seamless. He puts a hat on and he's another character, but yet you go with it. They establish this kind of vernacular that we're going to live in this style.
Fluid as can be, clear as can be. It is opening on, it just opened this past Sunday.
Yeah.
So I wish them nothing but the best. I'm going to wait a little bit to read the reviews. I like to wait a little bit.
Do you?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know. I like to process everything.
Mm.
And my fear is like, and I'm sure you guys do this too, you know, you'll get those texts. Did you see what Brantley wrote in the Times? Did you see this? to take the time, gather all the reviews, see what everybody says. I am hoping, though, that come Tony season, we all remember Come From Away.
Yeah.
And I believe it should be rewarded.
Yeah.
So my favorite thing, I'm so sorry to say, is not something from the past. It is from the present, and it is this beautiful production of Come From Away.
I think that is fantastic.
So that's mine.
Oh, I second everything you said, by the way. I was so moved by it, and it really does inhabit everything I believe in with a music, you know, what a musical can be. That it can't, it doesn't have to be like musical, flashy, jazz hands, but a musical can be introspective and smart and folky, and it felt like the whole piece was a journey in the best best possible way, and I loved it. The humanity.
I'm so happy you liked it.
I am going to take us down the more book side of things.
I wish I could read
today. You. I'm trying to see if it's on your shelf right now, and I'm sure it is.
Book of a musical? Oh, no.
No. A book. A book. You know, not of a musical.
I also keep a lot of my theater books underneath the sofa.
Oh, this is...
It's a pullout. Oh,
that's cool.
For those of you who are curious, it is an IKEA L-shaped sofa.
It is.
In a lovely chocolate-covered brown. It was originally white.
It's lovely, Rob.
But I eat a lot of Kit Kat bars.
Oh, my God. Gross.
So it's, I love Kit Kats. Who are you to judge me?
But I'm like, what am I in the chocolate right now? I'm sitting in it.
You want to go see Charlie in the Chocolate Factory?
You can just come to Rob's apartment.
Just come to Rob's apartment.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
What is that your book? Oh, I already know what it is, and I do own a copy of it.
You see the yellow cover,
don't you? I see it, and I know exactly what it is.
What yellow cover is it?
This is called Second Act Trouble.
It is, with the little bomb in the O.
By Stephen Susskind.
Which, we got to get him.
I'd love to. Stephen, if you're listening.
Like, hey, anyone who knows Stephen, please, can you? By the way, this book is a nice book. It's like a nice, sturdy.
What, are you going to build a house
with it? I was like my dad for a minute, like, this is the way books should be. That's not how my dad sounds at all. But this is a really cool book. And I think that this is actually a great read for fans of musical theater, but also people who may not know a lot about musical theater. The
book, again, is called Second Act Trouble.
Second Act Trouble.
Behind the Scenes. What does it say?
The Behind the Scenes at Broadway's Big Musical Bombs.
And the author?
The author is Stephen Susskind, Suskin. It is a solid book, like I said. What I like about it is it takes us on the journey of these shows that were not hits, let's just say, that maybe had some trouble either out of town. There's a couple that never made it to Broadway, which we can talk about. Ties in well with the concert we're doing in a couple weeks. And then also shows that you may know, like Irene or Fade Out, Fade In or The Act or Golden Boy, which we talked about with Charles Strauss about.
Just very quickly going back to Irene for one quick
second. Yeah, yeah.
My shower song this week has literally been They Go Wild, Simply Wild Over Me from Irene, sung on the cast recording by George S. Irving.
So what I thought was you're going to be like, I'm always chasing rainbows.
I need to chase rainbows.
Oh my God, you're killing me.
And a little trivia on Irene really quickly for our listeners.
Bring it.
If you listen to the cast recording of Irene, Debbie Reynolds' love interest is played by Monty Markham, a name you might not know. But if you watch The Golden Girls, he's Blanche's gay brother, Clayton.
That episode has been on every single day for the last like 3 weeks, I feel like.
Clayton, she's in love.
Oh, Clayton's man. She just can't see it, though. She's like, oh, I got to hook him up. Oh, he and Rose are going out. And then
and Sophia.
And then Rose, of course, is the cool one who's like, it's okay. Like,
it's okay.
Yeah, she don't care.
Sophia has that great line, which is, Ma,
let's be honest. Ma, how did you know he was gay? I heard him in the shower. What heterosexual man knows all the words to Send in the Clowns?
So good. It's so good.
Sorry, oh, second act trouble.
Oh man, though.
Sorry.
Bring up Golden Girls, and we'll just get
second
going.
Act trouble. Stephen Susskind.
So what makes this book, I think, really cool is that not only get anecdotes by Stephen Susskind, he gives you context for all of the shows, and I'll talk about a couple of the shows, but the book, the real bulk of the book are the articles that he found. So he went back and he did a lot of research. And so, for example, Seesaw 1973, it's not just him pontificating on Seesaw, but it's an article he found by Patricia Bosworth that basically goes in depth at the time she wrote this article in 1973. And it goes in depth, you know, back then they cared a lot more about Broadway musicals. You know, and they published, they just
you
wrote
mean
about
journalism.
Them. Journalism. Yes, I'm sorry. As a whole, they I think they're a little more mainstream, you know? And so they talk, it wasn't just Hamilton, but it was even a show that didn't succeed. They would write a big, you know, they would do an in-depth cover story about, like, why is Kelly not working out of town? You know? So what I like is that it's the article, but then he'll give little quips in the midst of the article.
Yes.
And he gives little anecdotes. And then I just love that there's pictures and you know, it's just a very well produced book, but I think anyone who wants to understand what it is to have done a musical or to produce a musical or to put a musical up and just how hard it is, I think this gives a real great insider look.
And like
at
you
that.
Said, most of the articles are in there are in the moment reporting.
Exactly.
It's not 20 years later we're looking
at
hindsight.
Seesaw.
There's no hindsight.
Totally. He gives hindsight. Stephen does. And he gives you really fun anecdotes. And he gives you some dirt as well.
Yeah, and he embeds that, though, into the original article,
right.
Which is very cool.
That's right. And so I think that this is not just for fans, but this is for people who just have a general, you know, a love of musical theater. What I enjoy, though, is how he titles the sections of the book. So you'll get like, it's like here's one that has four musicals. When Everything Went Wrong, which is The Act, Seesaw, Breakfast at Tiffany's, Dude, which we talked to someone recently. But Dude.
Did Jen talk to us about Dude? No, somebody else talked to us about Dude. Chuck Cooper? No. Ron Fassler.
Thank you.
Ron Fassler.
So we talked about Dude, and Ron Fassler was talking about Dude. And then there's Star Turns. So you had Hell's a Poppin' or Fade Out, Fade In, the Carol Burnett thing, and Irene, you know. Salvage Jobs, Golden Boy.
You know what? What was the title of the first chapter, though?
When Everything Goes Wrong.
But The Act was nominated for Best Musical, and Liza Minnelli, didn't she win the Tony Award in The Act?
Right, but I think that it was like, because, you know.
Just everything, the whole
process.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
He had the one director, and then they got rid of him, and then she was, like, sleeping with, like, what's his name, the big movie director?
Martin Scorsese.
Yeah, and then but then, like, they had, like, another choreographer. I could read the chapter for everybody right now,
like,
but I think I'll
on,
wait.
Books on tape.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah.
So I think that, I mean, he lets things fit into those categories, but, I just think it's a really fun read. And the beauty of it is actually for those of you who are fans of musical theater, you don't have to read the whole thing. If you're like, hey, I want to read about Mac and Mabel right now. Well, just go to Mac and Mabel. I feel like I'm on like the Home Shopping Network right now. And I feel like I'm like, like trying to sell this book, but I really love this book and I really love how it was made, and I think it's a good read.
Yeah, it's an absolutely marvelous book.
Cry for Us All, anybody?
You know what? I was just listening to the record of Cry for Us All.
Of course you were.
I was. I really was.
Of course you were.
Because I'm still trying to.
Did it ever make it to Broadway?
Yeah, it did, but it was like only 8 performances or something like that. I think I'm right on that.
But did Kelly make it to Broadway?
Yeah, played one night. That was the big...
Breakfast at Tiffany. Oh, yeah.
Breakfast at Tiffany's, he closed out. David Merrick closed it out of town.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
And I think he said something along the lines of, like, I respect my audiences too much to try to give
yes,
them this.
Totally.
And like, you know what? You might be a nut job, but good for you for at least sparing us that. Because I know a lot of producers who bring in stuff,
they're
regardless
just,
if it's any good or not, and just hoping it'll pass by. So
right.
Thank you, David Merrick.
I guess for all you did. Are there any songs from the concert that's coming up? That was. Are you doing anything from Breakfast at Tiffany's? So we should tell people
there's. Yes, it's not a plug, but it's something that I think if you listen, It is now. Thanks, Kevin. Up next is Ivanka Trump's jewelry line. We should have listeners. If we had a Broadway shopping network, would you watch it? And what would we sell on there? This is Lin-Manuel Miranda's Paper Plates.
When? Do you know what I just found in my, I was going through an old box at home and I found these sunglasses that Stritch gave me that she literally ordered her white sunglasses that it was like closing day. She's getting rid of her shit. And she's like, here, Kevin, she was a joke. And she's like, yeah, I'll sign them. You're gonna have my glasses. And I was like, really? Are you serious, Elaine?
You know how much money that's worth, Kevin?
They were her
white glasses. Do you know how many men right now?
But so I think that's something we could sell on Home Shopping Network.
Absolutely.
White Stritch glasses. Or just the whole Stritch uniform. White button-up shirt, black tights, white glasses, and a little sailor's cap.
Oh,
done.
My gosh. You're set. We should create a Broadway line and sell it at like Target and Walmart.
Moomoo's by Park.
This so is bad. The...
That's so bad.
Moomoo's by who?
Barbara Cook. Bad. I'm sorry. Wrong.
I know you're going to want me to edit that. I'm keeping that in there. I think that's so funny.
So bad.
I love the Moo.
Oh, gosh.
Moo's by Barbara Cook.
Moo's by Barbara Cook. Moo's by Cook.
There's nothing wrong with a good Moo Moo.
I love a good Moo.
If I could wear one, I totally would.
If you showed up to work without your uniform on, which by everyone should know that Rob's uniform is usually a button-up shirt with a sensible sweater pulled over, which he's actually wearing right now. But you could, I'd love to see you don a nice little... Moo-moo.
Like a Mrs. Roper, like with
the
big... We should totally do that. Oh, my God. That would be great. Bob Fosse Black. Black shirt, black pants.
Comes with fake cigarette.
Comes with fake cigarette, that's derby, right. And prophylactic. Really get you in the...
Oh,
5, 6, 7, 8.
That's been a favorite things, everybody. Hope you enjoyed yourself.
That's the sizes they come in. 5, 6, 7, 8.
I'm just going to let that one. That's really good.
Well, if anybody wants to invest, you can find... Oh, our concert.
Oh, right. We're trying to promote ourselves, and we can't even do that right.
Meanwhile, I've sold no tickets to the concert, but we have 20 orders for Barbara Cook's Moo Moo.
Her purple Moo Moos are going fast,
Her purple
folks.
Moo Moos are going really fast.
Buy now, and you can do the price plan. Okay, so it's on the 21st of March.
Of March. Okay, so here's the concert.
But it's cool.
That,
it's a cool concept,
doing.
Rob, and you came up with this.
I did. Thank you. It's called Broadway Bound.
Right.
It's going to be at Feinstein's 54 Below. We have two shows, a 7 o'clock and a 9:30. And we're going to record it. So if for some reason you can't come, don't worry. I'm sure you'll get access to it at some point on YouTube. The premise of the concert is to celebrate the musicals that did not come to Broadway but were announced for Broadway. Some of them had theaters already.
I believe I was in one of those shows,
Rob. I was
going
to say, Kevin is in one of those because we are representing Rebecca.
Oh, God bless Rebecca.
Mr. Thomas was had a nice role in and was going to make a big splash, and unfortunately that didn't happen. That's okay. But we're gonna do contemporary
A lot of
things.
Other good stuff, too, I think.
We're doing Rebecca. We're doing Nerds, which we know... Closing the Road.
That's recent.
And then we're doing some things that, like, we're out of town and never came in, like Pretty Belle and Pleasures and Palaces. And then
Frank Lesser's
last musical.
Yep, and Julie Stein's.
The Pretty Belle, we've talked
about
Pretty
Belle.
Wait,
that was
Pretty
a favorite
Belle
thing.
Show.
That was the old rape musical, yeah.
But
go back, folks, if you want to know about Pretty Belle. We did a favorite things, like, I want to say 6 months ago on it.
Yeah.
But great, some fun stuff in that score, even though it's a little wacky.
And then we're doing a couple of shows that never really got beyond never even got to a workshop or rehearsal phase. Like, for example, we're doing a song from the Captain America musical, which was supposed to come out in 1987. It was supposed to be John Cullum. Wow. As Captain America. And listen to this. I think this is so fascinating. It was supposed to open up in 1987. It was going to star John Cullum
as Captain America?
As Captain America. They even went so far as to costume him. And there's a great publicity shot of John Cullum dressed as Captain America. But here, guess what the plot was of Captain America. Are you ready? The plot was that Captain America was going through a midlife crisis and was questioning his identity in the world and decided he did not want to be Captain America anymore. But then his wife, who was running for president or was going to be the president, was kidnapped. And he had to don the outfit again and go save her. The original casting ideas for Captain America after John Cullum, they pitched it to Hal Linden, Richard Kiley, and Ken Howard.
Wow.
And John Cullum, and he accepted. And then the women for his wife, Linda Lavin and Cloris Leachman, were both up for the role. And so anyway, never went anywhere. There's an amazing song from it called Nobody Asked Me to Lead the Parade This Year, which is all about how, as a superhero, he's being replaced by younger superheroes, which is a great number. And then we're doing a number from Babe, the Babe Ruth musical that Alan Menken and Howard Ashman wrote.
Nice.
So it's going to be a really eclectic evening. We've got people like Phyllis Newman are gonna appear in the concert and talk about her experiences on both Pleasures and Palaces and How Do You Do I Love You.
Oh, that's so cool. And you're hosting it with Jen.
I'm hosting it with Jen. Yeah, so we've got a lot of previous guests. Like Jen Tepper and I are hosting it. Lonnie Ackerman is going to be in it. Jim Walton, who we interviewed, is going to be in it. It's going to be a really, really fun evening in the theater. So please, if you're in New York City, March 21st, two concerts. Both have separate bills. So, you know, 7 o'clock, 9:30. Come join us. It's really going to be a wonderful evening.
Cool.
And Kevin is in it. Kevin is in it.
Singing a song from the Arthur musical.
Arthur musical.
Which was written by...
Lay it on me. Who wrote this musical?
Marta Kaufman and David Crane.
And what else
did
they
write? And Michael Skloff. Who did Friends and Personals, which was your very first My Favorite Things.
It really was.
So how's that full circle? That's kind of funny.
The people who wrote Friends...
It's a good song.
...wrote a musical. I think it's a
It's a silly little song. I love it. It's going to be fun.
It's a fun score.
Yeah.
So... Go see the concert, and then after the concert, go see Come From Away, and on your ride home, pick up a copy of Second Act Trouble by Stephen Susskind.
Well done.
Thank you. We'll see you all next
time. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
I dreamed a dream of days to come, where sponsorship is high and money is forthcoming.
That's beautiful, Kevin.
I really added a voice onto that one, too. I really was trying to go for something there.
Listeners, we love creating this podcast, but it does cost money. Please don't make me sell my Angel record.
Oh my gosh, the original cast recording of Angel.
That like nobody has.
Nobody has it.
If you like what we are doing and want us to keep doing more of it, please head over to patreon.com.
What?
That's patreon.com.
Patreon.
Patreon.
Yeah, once you're there, search for Behind the Curtain Broadway's Living Legends. And of course, we don't expect you to give without receiving some great rewards.
Such rewards include behind-the-scenes videos, shout-outs on future episodes, or episodes, depending on what part of the country you're from, because I said episodes, and early access to some of our podcasts. Hell, for the right price, Kevin and I will come to your apartment and act out all of Agnes of God.
So head over, friends, to patreon.com to help us out.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.